Track 2. Hello and welcome to the news recorded on Wednesday, the 8th of August. I'm Margaret.
I'm Joyce.
And I'm Phil.
And your sound engineer this week is Martin. And now Joyce will start us off with the news.
More than 130 pubs have closed down across the Black Country and parts of Staffordshire in the last 8 years, new figures have revealed. According to figures from the Office for National Statistics, there are now 95 less pubs in the Black Country than there were in 2010, a drop of 14%. Over the same period, Cannock, Stafford, South Staffordshire and Lichfield have lost 40 pubs, which is 11%. The pub trade has pointed the finger of blame at the government for the closures, saying high beer duty. VAT levels and business rate levels are sending boozers to the wall. A total of 135 have gone in the Black Country and parts of Staffordshire. Dudley has been one of the worst hit areas in the country, losing 35 out of a total of 225 pubs. These include the Hearty Good Fellow, the Struggling Man, and the Dog and Partridge. Campaigners say they face an uphill battle to keep pubs open. Britain's Beer Alliance, a group of organisations in the pub and brewing sector, has started the Long Live the Local petition, calling for people to write to their MPs to have beer duty reduced. Bridget Simons, chief executive of the British Beer and Pub Association, said, "We are calling on the government to cut beer duty in the upcoming November budget. 7 in 10 alcoholic drinks sold in a pub are beer. So cutting beer duty is the most direct way of helping pubs. This is why we are backing the Long Live the Local campaign to cut beer tax. A change in consumer habits, with people drinking at home more often, has been blamed for fewer people visiting pubs. But Ms. Simmons said that many now offered much more than a drink. She said pubs have responded to changing drinking habits with a more diverse offering, such as coffee, live music, Wi-Fi, creating experiences and food. Pubs now serve 1 billion meals a year and are at the forefront of modern British cooking. They also have 50,000 bedrooms. Tom Stainer, the Chief Communications Officer for Camra, said that pubs play a vital role in communities. They create jobs and bring money into local areas, which tend to be spent in the local area, as compared to the large chain cafes. Many pubs help to support the nighttime economy in town centres.
Louise Carter said she was amused when employees at the McDonald's restaurant on Malvern Shopping Park would not take her order. Miss Carter, age 48, of College Green, Pewick, said the workers told her she could not buy any food because she was not in a car. However, a McDonald's spokesman said staff were following company policy. Miss Carter said, "They said I can't serve you, you are not in a car. I never thought I'd have some jobs worth saying that. I know I'm not a vehicle." The business owner rode down to the retail park because she wanted to get a takeaway during England's World Cup semi-final on July the 11th. She said, "Once you get your mind sorted on a Big Mac, you have to have one. I thought I might never do this again, as I might not have the opportunity. I'm going to do this. I try to do different things like that to get out of my comfort zone." Miss Carter likened her spontaneous trip to completing a bucket list challenge. She added, "The whole reason for it was because it was going to be so quiet on the road. That's why I went. It was the semi-final of England." Miss Carter was slightly disappointed that the McDonald's staff turned her away, as she had just travelled 3.5 miles on the A449 to reach the restaurant. However, she added that she does not want to get anyone in trouble, and said the branch manager later came out and apologised to her. Miss Carter said shoppers had their eyes fixed on her when she arrived at the shopping park and watched nonchalantly as she trotted around the site. She described the experience as surreal and insisted it was a one-off. A McDonald's spokesman said, "Our drive-through lanes are specifically designed for roadworthy motor vehicles only and are therefore not suitable for horses. Our crew advised the customer of this policy and invited them inside."
The CQC report noted that the home's registered manager was absent during the time of inspection because they had been suspended, and it highlighted recruitment and staffing changes as particular concerns, saying some staff might not have been suitable for working at the home, and that staffing capacity was stretched. The report stated the registered provider did not ensure sufficient numbers of suitable, qualified, competent, skilled staff were deployed. The registered provider did not make regular checks of the service and had not ensured high quality care had been delivered. Although relatives told us they felt their family members were safe, we could not be assured that practices within the home ensured all concerns were recorded and escalated appropriately. Practices within the home did not ensure the appropriate stakeholders were notified of accidents and incidents as these occurred. Recruitment processes had not always been completely followed, and there was a risk that staff recruited might not have been suitable for working at the home. Changes in staffing and within the management team meant that staff did not always receive the correct level of supervision and training. While staff were praised by inspectors for their caring manner, the report focused on the recent staffing changes as a reason for concern. It added, the registered manager had been at the home for a number of years and had been supported by staff, who had also been there for some period of time. The registered manager had recently been absent from the home and for a number of long-standing care staff had left in recent weeks, and this had caused anxiety and instability within the home. The inspection was carried out in March, but its findings were only just published in July. Mount Residential Home declined to comment.
A retired businessman is suing Wolves, claiming that the club's famous wolf head logo was ripped off from a drawing he did as a child in the 1960s. Peter Davis is suing Wolves for copyright over the club's wolf head logo. The 70-year-old retired building contract manager, who was brought up in Wolverhampton, claims that his memory was jogged in 2002 when the club updated the badge to add a hexagonal surround, which, he says, resembles his childhood drawing even more closely. Then, while going through his late brother Ron's possessions following his death in 2015, he found his original sketches for the mystery wolf design, which he had drawn in pencil on the back of a wildlife poster of big cats. It was still stored in a box after 50 years. He went on to register his design in 2016 and is now seeking a share of profits that the club has made through the use of its logo over the last 6 years. But lawyers for the club want his claim struck out and told Judge Matthew Marsh at London's High Court today that his case is based on an improbable collection of events for which there is no factual basis. The claim rests on the possibility that the judges of the arts competition were friends of the then chairman of Wolverhampton Wanderers Football Club, Harry Marshall, and passed losing entries in the competition to him, which he kept in a drawer for 15 years, and fished out of the drawer and used again in 1979. It seems that Mr. Davies's case is that somebody at the club then kept his entry to the art competition since 1979 and gave it to the designer of the new logo in 2002. We say that is at the least an improbable collection of events for which there is no factual basis. The barrister added, "His original artwork doesn't exist. What exists are the sketches. He has no documentary evidence of the work or its existence. In the circumstances, it would be unconscionable for Mr. Davies to be allowed to continue with his claim," the QC said. He also asked the judge to order Mr. Davies to pay the club's legal costs of investigating the matter and defending the case. But Mr. Bragel asked the judge to refuse the strike-out application and allow the evidence to be tested at a full trial. He added that Mr. Davies could face bankruptcy if he was hit with a big legal costs bill. The hearing in London continues.
Controversial plans to raise a mast on a busy Dudley Road have been put on hold. Dudley Council planning bosses have agreed that work to install a new 57-foot telecoms mast on Hales Owen Road will halt whilst they search for an alternative site. Contractors WHP Telecoms Limited and MNBL, which represent EE and 3 Mobile, agreed to a short-term extension on their lease for Wells Court, while planning officers monitor council-owned locations for other options. It comes after around 30 members of the Netherton community grilled Dudley Council planning officials over their blunder, which led to mast being marked on the route for the road. A prior application for the mast was responded to by Dudley Council a letter later than the allocated 56-day window, something officials say related to an electronic failure. Netherton, Woodside and St Andrews ward councillor Quaddar's Order, who led the campaign to stop the raising of the mast on Hales Owen Road, said he was delighted at the decision. He said, "I am delighted that the planning department has seen sense in suspending the activities planned for one of the busiest roads in Netherton. I am concerned that the local consultation has been questionable, and I would like to make sure that any movement with this has the full input of the community and ward councillors."
Car thefts in the region have nearly tripled since 2015, figures from the West Midlands Police have revealed. Police and Crime Commissioner, PCC, David Jamieson, has also said he will name and shame manufacturers who have taken their eye off the ball when it comes to vehicle security. Figures published by the West Midlands Police show 3,420 vehicles have been stolen from the region in the first 6 months of 2018, compared with 1,210 over the same period in 2015. Nearly a third of thefts were of Fords, with 1,070 stolen, while BMW 333, Audi 327 and Vauxhall 267 were also popular among thieves. Police say that keyless cars are increasingly being targeted by criminals, who they say are taking advantage of weaknesses in vehicle security systems. Neil Horsburgh from Quinton had his Audi A5 stolen by thieves in December. It is thought they took advantage of his car's keyless technology to steal the vehicle. David Jameson met with BMW, Honda, Ford, Nissan, Audi and Jaguar Land Rover back in April to demand they do more to protect cars from thieves, though other car manufacturers did not attend. And he believes that naming and shaming car manufacturers will help improve security. That is why I've chosen to name and shame car manufacturers in this way. And I'll continue to do so until they improve security and help reduce thefts. However, the PCC has also accepted that the force must be doing more in relation to vehicle thefts, and he has said he will put pressure on the police to tackle the rising crime, calling it one of the top force's top priorities. While I'm determined to stand up to the big multinational companies who make our cars, I won't shy away from putting pressure on West Midlands Police either, he said. West Midlands Police has advised people to purchase a steering wheel lock to help keep their vehicles safe, calling them one of the most effective deterrents for thieves.
The Queen received a new crown from pranksters who placed a cone on the head of a new statue of Her Majesty in Gravesend after one day of the sculpture being on display. Stephen Fry, 40, who now lives in Hong Kong, was visiting his childhood town when he saw the statue after a night out with his friends. He said, "I was with my friends and we came out of the pub when one of them said, 'We should go and see the new statue of the Queen.' As we walked along towards it, my friend noticed the cone and said, 'Oh my God, she's already got a cone on her head.' However, some Gravesend locals were upset by the prank, with many taking to social media to express their outrage. One wrote, 'It's not funny and it's not clever, just the product of very simple minds.' The sculpture of Queen Elizabeth II was unveiled at St Andrew's Park in Gravesend on Thursday afternoon, the 24th of July. The statue was sculpted by Douglas Jennings and was unveiled by the Right Reverend James Langstaff, Bishop of Rochester and Bishop of Her Majesty's Prisons, and Councillor David Turner, Honorary Freeman of the Borough and Leader of the Council. The statue was commissioned in 2016 in honour of the Queen's 90th birthday. The Queen became Britain's longest reigning monarch in September 2015, when she became the first British monarch ever to celebrate a sapphire jubilee, marking her 25 years on the throne. Bishop James Langstaff said, "The unveiling went really well. It's so important for the community to have sculptures and art. It says something not just about the Queen as a monarch, but the life of our nation that she embodies. She is 92 years old, and at an age where most would be slowing down in a retirement home, she is still serving as our longest reigning monarch." Speaking about how he created the statue, sculptor Douglas Jennings said, "It took a lot of thinking and research when I was deciding what I would have to put into it, this because of all the adornments and robes that she has. Portraits are always a challenge. Luckily, the Queen is probably the most photographed woman in the world. It became like putting together a jigsaw."
Drug dealing, crime, fly tipping and non-stop littering are plaguing an estate just outside of Stourbridge town centre. Sabre-leaguered residents. Tim Price and his family filled a green wheelie bin and several carrier bags with rubbish they collected for 2 hours at the playing fields next to Redhill Secondary School on Junction Road. And while the volume of litter concerned father of two, Mr. Price, even more worrying was the nature of the waste, which included needles, syringes and broken glass. He said it's becoming a very, very unsafe area, as well as general litter, there were lots of bio waste. The woodland strip between Stepping Stones and Coney Green is strewn with residential and council fly tipping, exacerbated by drug use and drinking. I called the council and they said they don't have the resources to deal with it. I was told as an individual, if I wanted to organise a community litter pick, then great. That's a total abdication of responsibility. We already paid Dudley Council to do this job and they are not doing it. Councillor Karen Shakespeare, Cabinet Member for Environmental Services, said, this sort of criminal behaviour is frustrating and ultimately leaves the taxpayer out of pocket. I would like to thank this resident for bringing the issues to our attention, and we will certainly have a look to see what more can be done, including the number of bins at the site. Councillor Laura Taylor, Cabinet Member for Housing, said, we are investigating a number of complaints from local residents about alleged antisocial behaviour at a property in Pebble Close. We are also liaising with the police and will take appropriate action if necessary. It's really important we work together to make our communities feel safe and welcoming, and we would encourage anyone who has concerns about antisocial behaviour to contact Dudley Council Plus on 0300 555 2345.
Two established fish and chip shops have been named among the 6 best in the Midlands, as well as being shortlisted for a national award. Merchants on Worcester Street and Old Swinford Fish and Chips on Hagley Road have been named in the top 60 shops across the UK in the 2019 National Fish and Chip Shop Awards. Both businesses have been shortlisted for the Fish and Chip Shop of the Year honour, one of 14 categories in the annual awards, which are widely recognised as the Oscars of the chippy industry. The region covers West Midlands, Staffordshire, Derbyshire, Shropshire, Herefordshire, Northamptonshire, Worcestershire, Herefordshire again, and Warwickshire. The shops are judged on more than just fish and chips, with judges also considering sustainability, menu innovation, catering for special dietary requirements, customer service and marketing. Over the coming weeks, the shops will undergo a further phase of mystery diner judging inspections in order to whittle the top 60 down to a top 20, then a top 10 shortlist, before the final stage of judging in London in January 2019. Marcus Coleman, Chief Executive Officer at competition organisers Seafish, said the calibre of finalists in this year's top 60 is extremely high and provides a true representation of the quality found within the fish and chips sector, perfectly summing up why British fish and chips are and always will be the best in the world. There we go. So on that item, I will say bye-bye from Margaret.
Bye-bye from Joyce.
And bye-bye from Phil.